You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Well, we are well beyond episode 100, but October 1st was our one-year anniversary. Right, and honestly, we didn't really do anything special for that because we celebrated the 100th episode instead.
True. But we had a good time with Ed when we on our 100th.
It's true.
It was one of my, if not my favorite episode. It might be my favorite episode.
Yeah, just don't listen to it. If this
episode today is your first episode tuning into us,
please
do not listen to episode 100. But if you've journeyed with us this entire time, listen, it's fun.
It's really the only time I've ever found it appropriate to use the 100 emoji.
The 100 emoji. Oh, man, there is an emoji for everything. Now, here's the interesting thing, Todd. Now that we're over a year into newchurches.com, Plus membership has been running every month. We do new content on a weekly basis. In addition to new content on a weekly basis that's exclusive to Plus members, we also have this thing called office hours. And office hours are basically personalized answers to whatever ministry questions that you have that we promise to you on a weekly basis. And we have a well-selected list of speakers, answer givers that have ministry experience that are in it, that have been pastoring, that will give you some good answer and advice and dialogue, really. So the podcast is intended to be you ask a question and we'll do our best to answer. The office hours component on newchurches.com is really intended to be more of a dialogue, and you can actually see the entire history of all the questions there. So you can check that out at newchurches.com/community, and you'll be able to learn a little bit more about that. Well, in addition to that, be sure to check out our courses, newchurches.com/courses. But let's actually listen into a question from one of our Plus members, Pavel.
What is the best way to pastor or shepherd your staff in the church?
Boom.
Short and sweet.
That is. I like it. He just dropped it right there.
Yeah. So staff, leaders, you want to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it requires eating lots of food together. That's really true. Does. Yeah. I mean, if you want the number one pro tip on that I would say is it's really important that you don't compartmentalize your ministry life. I know that there have been numerous books written on boundaries, and you know, I appreciate those. I appreciate the work of Henry Cloud and so on and so forth. But the work of working out of the ministry and walking out the ministry are really should be combined. And by that, I mean, you cannot compartmentalize your life. Mm-hmm. You may want it clean to have, this is the church is not a job. Mm-hmm. It's not a job. Yeah, right. So when life is ministry and ministry is life, that they go together, and it requires eating around a table a lot, screaming kids in the background and seeing how each other discipline their children. And, you know, you don't have to agree on everything, but those life moments are going to be where the real transformation happens in someone. We all know that how important modeling is, but it's a lot easier to learn and lead and disciple in the moment. When you look at the life of Jesus, yeah, he taught in the synagogues, but he discipled one-on-one, shoulder to shoulder, knee to eat, knee, you know, and he, you know, broke bread, all those things. And I think that's a really important, that would be my number one.
Yeah, and I love that, because that's how the relationship is built. That's how trust is developed. Even when you look at situational leadership by Ken Blanchard, you know, being able to even release more ministry or responsibility to them often grows through trust. You look at Patrick Lencioni's 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, the foundation is trust. So I completely agree with you on that. Now, what do you think, though, Todd? Let's say a pastor or team leader is spending time with their team, eating, building that trust both within work time, outside of work time, and then conflict comes, right? Conflict comes and they need to address something very specific to one of their team members, but they've really become friends, or even, you know, not only conflict, but it's led to them needing to fire them, or there's behavior or, you know, bad performance that you really do need to let them go, but your families have become so connected and loved, and your kids are best friends. And how do you deal with that? Because I know that's one of the reasons, you know, some of the authors are going to say out there, hey, that's why there should be some separation. And they also say, don't hire your friends, right? There's a whole segment of leaders that talk about that. So please address that for us.
First of all, that doesn't sound very fun.
It isn't. I've been a part of a team where we, like, every Monday on our day off as a team in Korea, we would hang out and we'd go to Costco together. I mean, it's probably one of the best ministry team environments.
What's difficult for me is, you know, in answering my first question, the way I did is just the difficulty of our current dynamic with our team, Daniel, and you look at, I mean, you know, we live an hour apart, at least an hour apart. Our homes are an hour apart.
Yeah.
And so that's a different dynamic than the church dynamic, where hopefully you're in the same community, you're not commuting to community. So I think that's unique and convicting. So I wrote,
I wasn't saying that to be convicting.
No, I was just thinking about
it. Yeah. But we travel, although it is an interesting dynamic being here, because we'll travel quite often together and hang out all the time. But you're right, our families.
It's like, oh, we're in St. Louis. What are we going to do for the next day until we wait for this meeting? Yeah. So long story, we're going to record a bunch of podcasts. That's what we do. the big thing for me is, you know, I wrote a little bit on how to lead people you don't like. And one big caveat to that was, you know what? The reality is sometimes it's a whole lot harder to lead people that you do like, that you like so much that you go on vacation with them. I still go on vacation with people from my small group from 10 years ago. We don't live, none of us hardly even live in the same places anymore, literally all around the world. And we all come back to the Outer Banks every spring for a week. And we stay at two or three houses. There's like 50 some of us now because everybody multiplied quite a bit. But it's really cool. So in that setting, I have led people. I haven't had to fire anybody, but I've had to have really difficult conversations with those people. And I think that the important thing is this. When I talked about doing, you know, life together, when I talked about eating a meal together, one of the things that's important to me is not only that I have trust with that person, but I have trust with that person's wife or that person's husband. Mm. And the only way to do that is to spend time with them.
Right.
And so I know that when I have this difficult conversation with him, that when he goes home and has a conversation with her, I'm much more likely not to be seen as the villain and forever remain the villain from that day forward because of that dynamic of that relationship. Yeah. So I think it's vitally important that happen, that they know that I want the best for their spouse, that those kids know me. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, you're not going to agree with everything your boss does. There's going to be things that your boss has to ask you to do that he may not even want to ask you to do, but he's got to ask you to do them, and you got to do them.
So then do you change the conversation then to, hey, I'm going to put, let me put my boss hat on and I got to say something to you. No. The reality is, if you just hung out all weekend together or went camping together as family or as a staff with all your families and had fireside, you know, the the bonfire is going, right? Everything lets out and you're just truly honest and things you would never say in a work context or in a work environment setting. You know, it's your friends. You're truly now friends, right? Really good friends. And bad performance comes up or issues, you know, lacking integrity or this or that come up that you've noticed within the church. You don't, and let's peel the onion a bit, right? To be honest, let's peel the onion, you know, pull the curtain back. It's for me, it's really hard to develop friends that I can be truly honest with. Right. And I think for a lot of guys that would be true. But let's say your associate pastor or one your worship leader, I mean, they are truly now a friend before a coworker. But you have to address this, and by addressing it, you have thoughts going through your mind, and you're like, is this going to put our friendship to jeopardy, or what's going to happen? And I don't want to lose the friendship. And how do you address conflict there?
You just do it, man. It's part of the conversation. Like for me, I just have the conversation, and I may cry, and they may cry. Yeah. I don't cry very often, but it seems like. If it's going to happen, it's going to be, I mean, my wife has said multiple times, you don't cry in front of me, you cry in front of your staff. I heard so-and-so the other day that you did. And it's because, hey, this is a big issue for you. And it's something I'm seeing right now. And I'm broken for you as much as I'm anything else. I mean, so there've been situations, not with people in my small group, but with people, you know, on staff where, you know, there was infidelity between two staff members. They had to be let go. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about something difficult to deal with and difficult to walk through. And, you know, the dynamic there is, it's like, wow, from an HR perspective, I have to, you know, do these things in this way.
I mean, that's another dynamic too.
And then from the pastoral perspective, this is what I need to do. And, you know, to be honest, I'm aware of the HR way, and I try to do that as much as possible. But at the end, you know, I'm a pastor, and doggone it, I don't care if this could potentially come back to hurt me. Hopefully I already know this person well enough, but then you say, well, you didn't know him that well because of this. So
okay, so I guess what I'm hearing is you should have three hats that are etched. Yeah, one of them says Boss Daddy. One of them, you know, is blue because it's your friend. It's cool, right? One of them is red, which is the blue one. No, the blue one is friend. Okay. You know, the red one is Boss Daddy, right. And the yellow one is HR, and you just try to go through the conversation that way, right? Switching hats. No, but to be serious. Hey, but to be serious, what you said sounds simple to just have the conversation, to just go do it, but it's actually, I mean, just like, I think that's it. You just do it. Right? Because so many people, you don't want to do it. No. You know, and so you do what ifs, or you dance around, and it's just lay all your cards out, right?
Yeah. And just do it. Just have
the conversation. And the better relationship you have with the person,
you're right,
the easier it is to do that. Yep. And the better relationship you have with the person, the better it's received. And if you have the right relationship with the person, they are going to sense that something is wrong, and they want to know what it is too.
Yeah.
Are you going to lose some people along the way? Yeah, probably you are. I mean, that's, you may say something that they're just not ready to deal with yet. And so they take their ball and go home. Okay. Well, I can't be responsible for what they did with their ball. Yeah. But I'm responsible for addressing the issues I see as a leader to develop this person. This person has been put under my care. Yeah. My number one job as a pastor is to develop them. My number one job in my current job is to see Daniel and Kevin and Kaylee and Barnabas, like all these people, and Lane, succeed me in who I currently am, or my stature as a leader. At some point, I will have to say, you know what? Just like I did with a guy who was I discipled. There was a guy that I discipled one time that I'd been with him for a year and a half, and I'm like, dude, I don't have anything for you. I don't have anything left for you. I've taught you literally as far as I can teach you. We're really different personality types, and you're a real go-getter, and I'm going to have to connect you with this other person that can help you get to where you need to go. So from my perspective, my number one job is to develop the people around me to the best place I can get them to, and then either they're going to move on to bigger and better things, or help them get connected to somebody that can grow them a little bit more.
I love that heart. I love that heart. And, you know, on the air, you're doing an amazing job. So I'm glad to be on your team. Thanks again for listening in. Be sure to submit more questions at speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your desktop, go to newchurches.com and you can hit the sidebar on the right. And don't forget, if you haven't done so yet, to review us on iTunes. Every review helps to help other people discover about this as well. Okay, we'll catch you next time.